Texas America World. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. Carol Adler is the president of Dandelion Books in Tempe, Arizona. You can find that site at www.dandelionbooks.net. Greg, before the last couple of commercial breaks, we were talking about a series of things that I think have contemporary relevance to where we stand right now in terms of the death of the American Republic. One of the things that strikes me as I listen to you, and I mentioned this quite some time ago to a guy who was on this show, Dr. Nabil Abousnaid, who is the PLO's Deputy Director of Mission in Washington, D.C., and as it just struck me at the time, and it strikes me as I listen to you, that there's maybe more of a connection between the Palestinians and the average American than we might imagine initially. And the reason I make this comparison is that when I look at what Israel has done to the Palestinians and what the Israeli lobby has done to the American political scene, it seems to me that in this country, the United States, when I look at the demise of the middle class, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of our economy, and the way in which the American armed forces are being enlisted to support Israel's surrogate wars in the Middle East, and the American government is borrowing all this money from Asian banks to finance its efforts abroad on behalf of Israel, the average American is obviously getting it right between the eyes in this process. Is there, in fact, on that basis, not a means of creating the realization for the average American that his or her circumstance has a lot more in common with the people of Palestine, the occupied people of Palestine, than might have been initially obvious upon first inspection? What do you think?
Yes, there definitely is a similarity, although the Americans are at least in a better position in that they aren't being shot at will by essentially a warden military. Their children aren't being strip searched at checkpoints. Their farmland isn't being plowed under by bulldozers. The houses aren't being destroyed, and they aren't being forced into starvation.
Now, yes.
Americans are essentially under an intellectual and I would say a corporate occupation. The Palestinians are under essentially a neo-Nazi occupation. Because what happened to the Warsaw Ghetto is essentially what's happening in the Gaza Strip. And in fact, I'm absolutely astounded to see that there was a chief rabbi came out and said that they had to behave like Nazis toward the Palestinians. They had to do carpet bombing of Gaza. They had to kill indiscriminately any Arab that would attack a Jew. There is gross, overt, and undeniable racial prejudice in Israel. There is such bigotry that anybody who comes up with the notion that Israel is a democracy needs to see a psychiatrist, because there is no possible way that Israel and democracy can be used in the same phrase. But as far as the United States goes, yes, there has to be some acknowledgement that they don't have a country and that the people they elect to government serves a foreign power. And until that happens, Americans have no real basis to have any allegiance to their government or to any of the corporate or any of the official authority figures of their society.
And when we come back, I wanted to ask Greg if he thinks that the present intellectual and corporate occupation of America might become more like the Palestinian model downstream. We'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, when Mark Dancos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. The president of Dandelion Books, Carol Adler, is based in Tempe, Arizona. You can find that publishing company at www.dandelionbooks.net. Greg, earlier you were talking about 14 specific points that are a clinical definition in the composite of fascism. Articulate a little bit more about that, if you would, some of the things in those 14 points and the way in which you see those things manifesting themselves in the current American political landscape.
I'd love to. Professor W. Britt determined that there were 14 points. I'll just give you the titles of them.
Sure.
I'll discuss them in a bit more detail. A powerful continuing nationalism, disdain for the recognition of human rights, identification of enemies or scapegoats as a unifying cause, supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, a controlled mass media, obsession with national security, Religion and government are intertwined. Corporate power is protected. Suppressed labor power. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Obsession with crime and punishment. Rampant cronyism and corruption. Fraudulent elections. Now, doesn't that sound like George Bush's America?
It sounds like a clinical description of George Bush's America, yes. Absolutely.
That's essentially what happened in Nazi Germany, and it's what's happening in the United States of America today. There is, to all intents and purposes, no difference between the two countries with respect to the concept of fascism being the dominant governing model. I mean, you need a scapegoat. I mean, Hitler had the Jews, and the United States has so-called Islamists, a term that really has no meaning. It's a concoction like jihadists. These are sort of vacuous terms that have been brought up just to demonize and make Arabs look like the great, you know, demiurge of terrorism, which they really aren't. In fact, as far as terrorism goes, Arabs are very inefficient. They don't do a very good job of it. If you want real terrorism, you should go to the Zionists, who have pioneered almost every aspect of terrorism that we now associate with hijacking, letter bombs. Everything is sniping, bombing buildings. Everything that we think of as a terrorist was pioneered by Zionists. Did you know that?
Well, I'm acquainted with it only because some years ago, I read Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, and then I subsequently read a sequel to that book put out by your publisher, Carol Adler, at Dandelion Books, where Thomas wrote Seeds of Fire. And I have utilized both of those books as a means of trying to inform some of my friends about a history that none of us learned about in school, none of us learned about through the American media. And, of course, that takes us all the way back to some of the things that I think you're alluding to that happened when the Zionist State of Israel was first created in the late 1940s, and certainly many things that have happened since then to sustain it, things that, you know, again, are routinely not reported in American educational textbooks in state-run schools. It's routinely not reported in corporate media for all of the obvious reasons. And I find that for most of the people who start to encounter the kind of information that's in Gordon Thomas's books or that's in your book, The Host and the Parasite, they're just absolutely amazed. It's like, why have I not heard of this before? Where has all of this information been in terms of coming into my worldview and presenting the fact that there's an alternative point of view?
The point of view is, well, it's like any conspiracy to keep points of view from reaching the public. I mean, during the worst excesses of the Christian Church during the Middle Ages and the persecution of the pagans and the non-Christians, even Christians who were too pious for the Church's liking, the truth and what really happened was all known. I mean, there were people who knew what was going on, just that it wasn't talked about. And the same thing is happening today. I mean, people know what's going on. I mean, but people either are afraid to say it or don't know how to get access to it, which is one of the reasons I wrote my book. Because anybody who picks it up and reads it from cover to cover, especially the last chapter, will come away understanding that there is something fundamentally amiss between what we see as reality and what is actually real. Now, one of the few really good American movies that's come out in the last 10 years, in my opinion, has been The Matrix. And there's a wonderful passage in the end of the book where the character of Morpheus offers Neo, I'm sure you've seen the movie, the choice of taking the red pill or the blue pill. And essentially what I'm asking Americans to do when they read my book, or pick up my book, is to suspend for a moment the concept of what they know to be true. I mean, as I spoke with you earlier, there is a problem with the images of America being persistent through time. The consistency of images of democracy, of our suburban lifestyles, our sporting teams, our history, all of that has been consistent from day one. But there has been a disjuncture in the history of America. The symbols that once supported the concept of an American republic have been co-opted to support an anti-democratic police state. And what I'm asking people to do is to ask themselves, is what I see real, or is what I see a co-opted illusion? And this is why I ask people to essentially take a red pill, to recognize that what they see is not what has always been. The U.S. that exists today is not the same U.S. that has always existed. And if people aren't prepared to do that, then the same sort of wool could be continually pulled over the eyes of the American public. And the United States will never pull itself out of its morass. And one of the ways we can do that is to recognize that Arabs are not the enemy. There is no Al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden is not attacking the United States. Everything that we've been brought up to believe since George W. Bush occupied the White House in a corrupted election, and in an even more corrupt election managed to hold on to it, is a fraud. But it's very hard to expect people to look at what they see with their own eyes and convince themselves that, wait a minute, and what I'm seeing is a lie. What I'm seeing doesn't make sense. It's not true. And unfortunately, yes, that is the problem. Americans see a world out there that they think is familiar, that they think is normal, but it's not normal. And it's the disjuncture between theory and practice that is the great danger in the United States government, in the United States society, and why I believe it must be formally torn down. Because there's no point trying to pretend the Republic exists. Because if you do that, then you're going to allow yourself to be persuaded by people who say, oh, well, this is still okay. I mean, these people aren't our enemy. Everything is really okay. We just have to tinker with the edges. Which is why once George Bush is out of office, either voluntarily or involuntarily, we're still going to have the same problem. We're still going to have political parties bought and paid for by a foreign government, by agents of a foreign government, doing the work of a foreign government at the expense of American lives, liberty, economy. The United States is being bled white. It is being bled both financially and physically and humanely. The United States is dying. And if Americans don't want to wake up one morning and find, you know, goose steppers walking down their main streets and finding the police running their schools or finding that there are government informants in their own businesses the way it was in Stalin's Russia, well, we're going to have, I don't know, people are going to wake up to a Twilight Zone reality. There's going to be some sort of conflagration. I can just sense something happening. If this sort of presidential directive that we were speaking of earlier actually comes to fruition, what would it take for the American public to rise up and say, enough is enough, we want our country back, and go right after the people who are responsible for it? We're bringing the Republic to such a parlous, decrepit state.
Yeah, and you really have to wonder how long this passivity is going to continue. And I'm thinking, again, with reference to what we've already talked about a little bit, Greg, when you look at this whole business of National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive 20, and then look at the laundry list of things that Pat Buchanan has talked about as of last week in both LouRockwell.com and WorldNet Daily in regard to the specific things that Mr. Bush is presently doing to begin a war with Iran. You would think that Buchanan's information, in tandem with what we now know of these latest executive orders, would begin to cause some alarm bells to go off in the minds of a few people, but maybe we're dealing again with diversion. People seem to be a lot more concerned right now with the NBA playoffs. And like here in San Antonio, for example, which is Military Town USA, I'm sure that there are not too many people who feel that they can talk openly about the reality, if they even understand what the reality is, of Mr. Bush's war on terror and his war in Iraq. But they can certainly focus upon the fact that the San Antonio Spurs are getting ready to play the Cleveland Cavaliers for the NBA championship this coming week. And when we come back, since Greg Felton is an acknowledged expert in the area of propaganda, let's talk about the way in which things like professional sports might divert the masses' attention from the issues that really matter. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Podcasting Network. back with Greg Felton, author of The Host of the Parasite. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Anton's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton. Greg hails from British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. He is the author of the new book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. You can find Carol Adler's company at www.dandelionbooks.net. It's based in Tempe, Arizona. Greg Felton also has a personal website I wanted to draw to the attention of the listeners. You can find it at www.gregfelton.com. That's www.gregfelton.com. All of this information, of course, I'll be sending to my technician for addition to the Republic Broadcasting Network archival description of this show, which will enable people to listen to it at a later time. Greg, where were we before the break?
We were talking about need for Americans to acknowledge that there is a discontinuity between the appearance of democracy and the fact of democracy. and that America, if they want to live in a free society, they have to do something about the corrupt political culture that has essentially destroyed the republic. And it's the political culture that essentially serves a foreign government. I mean, America has been co-opted, and this has been allowed to happen because the symbiosis, the mutually reinforcing elements of the fascist troika that I spoke of that grew in power from the late 50s, 60s into the early 70s, the Christians and Zionist Jews mutually reinforcing each other over some biblical, the biblical land grant that God ostensibly gave to the Hebrews, and that the political anti-war movement that the Christians and the neocons have common cause over, and that this development essentially helped bring about the ruination of the American Republic. And Americans have to wake up to this, otherwise, I mean, there has to be something more than simply listening to alternative media and staging protests. There has to be a fundamental groundswell of American anger pointed at the people who are causing the destruction of their freedoms. And hopefully, hopefully, some people in the military are able to do something about it. They are going to get mad enough and angry enough and sick enough at seeing men and women being sent into the meat grinder of the Middle East for no good reason, solely to prop up Israel's crumbling image and need to occupy and control and dominate the Middle East. Now, one of the things that most people don't know, or a lot of people think they know, is that the United States went to war in Iraq for the sake of oil. And superficially, that looks plausible. Because traditionally, the United States has been preoccupied with the Middle East as a cheap source of petroleum. And if you take that point of view, however, you end up with a serious problem. Because what the United States has done tactically in the Middle East is incompatible with any strategy of petroleum-based policy. And this is why we have to acknowledge that something happened after Reagan became elected, and that is that petroleum ceased to be the main object of U.S. policy in the Middle East, and it was supplanted by the time Clinton came to power with Israel's colonial expansionism. And we know this because when George H.W. Bush invaded the Middle East in the Gulf War, the Desert Shield and then Desert Storm, that was the last time the U.S. went to war in the Middle East for the sake of oil. Since then, everything has been done to make oil more expensive, riskier, and harder to get. I mean, big business does not like war. War is bad for business. If you're going to have an exploitive foreign policy, you have to make sure that the country that you're exploiting is quiescent, that the people are paid next to nothing to extract the raw material, and you've got a very compliant autocrat in charge. And that was great. That's what Saddam Hussein was. I mean, Saddam Hussein was America's buddy for the longest time. It was Rami shaking his hand in the early 80s as Ronald Reagan's emissary, and all this happy talk about him attacking Iran and doing America's dirty work for him. I mean, Saddam Hussein's great mistake was thinking that he could work with the United States. And he couldn't. He was suckered into attacking Iran, and he was suckered into going after Kuwait. And we ended up now with a scenario where the United States needed an excuse to invade Saudi, well, not invade, but station troops in Saudi Arabia. And they did that by getting Saddam Hussein to attack Kuwait. And from there, we see a gradual diminution of U.S. policy based in oil and a rising interest in U.S. policy based on helping Israel. And this is, again, particularly obvious when you see the chapter in my book, The Jewish Presidency, which is the Clinton presidency. And the term Jewish is not meant to be any pejorative comment upon Jews per se, and that's not true. In my book, I go out of my way to distinguish Zionists from other Jews, the honorable Jews who have been just as much victims of Zionist terrorism as have non-Jews. But it was the Israeli paper Ma'arif that wrote a 4,000-page essay talking about the Jews in Clinton. And in his first term, there were something like...
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll return with Greg Felton, the author of The Host of the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a publication put out by Dandelion Books, Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. You can get to Dandelion Books by clicking on www.dandelionbooks.net. I think it's also noteworthy that Greg Felton has his own website at gregfelton.com. He also writes a political column for the biweekly Arabic, English, Canadian Arab News. Greg Felton's articles also appear on whatreallyhappened.com, mediamonitors.net, Rents.com, Jeff Rents's site, and in the Middle East Times, the Tehran Times, and other publications. Greg, getting back to our conversation, you were trying to make a point before the last commercial break. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, there was the No, I wish you could remind what that point was.
Yes, well, I'm a little stuck at that point, too, but it leads me to my next question. I've been dying to ask you this one. Kurt Nimmo, who is also a Dandelion Books author, was informing me the other day of something that's going on up there in Canada where you are. And basically what Nimmo was telling me, and I was reading some of this information on the air. It can be found at publication up there in Canada, I believe, called Dissident Voice. And it was describing how a journalist by the name of Chris Cook, who is certainly a very mainstream, responsible, I would say left-of-center type of journalist, but basically a responsible person, has been charged, as Kurt Nimmo has been charged, with being anti-Semitic. And that standing behind this is clearly the Anti-Defamation League, and the Anti-Defamation League, in turn, is apparently working through a Zionist-connected businessman up there, and also doing so in conjunction with the Canadian Human Rights Association. Have you been subjected to any of this sort of thing, and what are we to make of this case that Kurt Nimmo brought to my attention last week?
Actually, I'm going to be doing a column on this sometime in July, after I do a piece, actually probably in late June, after I do my piece on the 40th anniversary of the 1967 war. But Nimmo is quite right. I mean, I was attacked by B'nai B'rith, too, back in 2004. I wrote a couple of columns, and B'nai B'rith, as is his wont, misedited and misrepresented my comments because they wanted to smear me. And they brought a complaint against me to the Edmonton Police in Alberta, where the Canadian Arab News was published, and charging me with disseminating hate litter, hate crimes. And, of course, the Edmonton Police took one look at this and told B'nai B'rith to pound salt. There was no charge. It's just harassment for the sake of harassment. And the issue with the Peace Earth Justice, Chris Cook, is simply a similar kind of harassment. And the last thing you want, if you're a Zionist, is for people to become educated. Because ignorance is strength. And ignorance allows you to tell people what to think. And if people are told what to think, they won't have the wherewithal to think for themselves. And what people do, like people like Chris, Kurt Nimmo, James Petras, Chris Cook, and other people, they're doing exactly what the lobby doesn't want them to do. So the lobby has nothing to offer in the way of positive arguments for Israel. They have none. I mean, there are none. The typical example is the odious professional plagiarist and liar Alan Dershowitz. It goes around like some dyspeptic, you know, Rottweiler attacking anybody who even thinks that, an incorrect thought about Israel. And all they can do is harass and terrorize and censor. And unfortunately, a lot of people make the error of taking these people seriously. And they, you know, they figure that if we stand up to them, maybe we're going to be getting into more trouble than we want to get into. And so you end up with people that end up, you know, sort of bowing to them. Yes, we will take out this, this art exhibit, or yes, we won't publish this article, or they'll just fold over like a cheap suit. And what's happened in Canada, yes, we have a lot of terrorism by the Israel lobby against people like Chris Cook and me and other people who have been sent, attempted to be marginalized because we have the unfortunate habit of telling inconvenient truths that puncture comfortable fiction. So, yes,
well,
I have personal experience with David Radler, the convicted felon now who's turning on his mentor. But, yes, I have personal experience of being censored.
Well, I tell you, in terms of your situation up there, Greg, this to me is absolutely ominous, not simply that this is going on in Canada, but I think it's absolutely noteworthy. Getting into some of the material covered by Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, and Pike is one of the few people I know who would be certainly defined as an evangelical Christian who opposes what the Israeli lobby is doing, opposes what the government of Israel is doing abroad, and Pike has been keeping a lot of us apprised of what is going on with the progress of so-called hate crimes legislation in the United States. Now, this has already passed. Some forms of this hate crimes bill this have already passed the U.S. House of Representatives. We're waiting to see what the U.S. Senate is going to do with this stuff. But the fact of the matter is that what has happened in Canada, it seems to me, is perilously close to happening in the United States. If the hate crimes legislation, which clearly is being promoted in this country by the same forces promoting it in Canada, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and the ADL-affiliated groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center of Morris Dees, if that happens in this country, in the United States, are we not looking at a situation where what has happened to Kurt Nimmo and what has happened to you up there in Canada and what's happened to Paul Fromm and others is going to begin happening in a much more concentrated way south of the Canadian border in the continental U.S.?
Well, I think also, I mean, the Israel lobby is more pervasive and far more malignant in the United States than it is here, even though, as it is now, we have a very much an Israeli-occupied government. Our so-called prime minister is little more than a front man for the lobby and for the Bushies. I call him, his name is Stephen Harper, but I think it's more proper to call him Steve Harbush, and that's what I refer to him as, because I can't take the man seriously as a politician, because he simply, his policies are already prefabricated and predetermined by his religious bias. He is an evangelical Christian, and he is more interested in propping up Israel and the Bush government than in serving the interests of the Canadian electorate. But as far as the U.S. goes, the U.S. has one benefit that Canada doesn't have, and that it has a very strong streak of individualism. Now, that has got the United States into trouble in the past, as it tends to be very jingoistic and rather blinkered with respect to the public good. But the U.S. history, the traditions of the individual having a right to dissent, the right to speak out, that might be a very strong obstacle for the ADL to overcome. I don't know how much success it would have, because there are, even within the Republicans now, or what used to be the Republican Party, like God's own persecutors now, you end up with people who are standing up against Bush, standing up to the destruction of the Republic, the pervasive apologetics for war for no good purpose. I mean, when Bush leaves office, there's going to be some sort of a reaction against the last 8 years of gross incompetence. And I think there may be, at least under whichever Democrat manages to win, even if it is some odious people that do manage to squeak through, there's going to be some resistance to some of the more anti-American elements of the Bush junta. And possibly this sort of hate crimes legislation might not survive very well. At least I'm hoping that's the case. Here in Canada, the funny thing is, in the Canadian Criminal Code, the term hate crime is not defined. There is no standard by which hate is codified. So if I say something that someone doesn't like, I mean, he can try to sue me for hate crimes, but, I mean, you have to prove what I said was hateful. And there are no criteria for it. Here in British Columbia, the Israel lobby is particularly odious and has managed to gerrymander our human rights legislation, whereas once we have the Human Rights Act, we now have the Human Rights Code. And within that, there's Section 7, which essentially makes it a crime to say something that causes suffering or upset to any defined racial or ethnic group. And this, of course, was written by the lobby, essentially to counteract certain writings that got up their nose on a regular basis. And so we have now a policy in British Columbia, which has never been challenged in the higher courts and should be challenged, that anybody who's full of a group can be charged with hate crime, even though that person may say something that's perfectly true. If I give somebody a reason to feel upset or offended, or, gee, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to sue you for hate crimes. Well, that's the sort of nonsense that's happened here in British Columbia. But again, it's never been challenged in the higher court, because I don't think anybody's ever had the wherewithal or willingness to take it that far. But ultimately, it's utterly unconstitutional and violates the second article of our Bill of Rights, which we have guaranteed as a citizen of Canada the right of freedom of opinion. And that is something that has to be challenged and looked at and defended. And I'd love to see someone take that and run with it to the Supreme Court. But Canada isn't a problem, but I think the United States maybe has more of an insulation against that than we do. There, Mark? Mark, you there?
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Sorry we had a brief glitch where I was temporarily disconnected from RBN. Who knows what the reason for that might have been. Might have been deliberate. We've had some monkey business sometimes coming to us from the outside. Greg, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Good. Sorry that we had the temporary glitch there. We've now had this reconnection made and established. In connection with what we were talking about before, when it comes to hate crimes up there in Canada as well as the U.S. and legislation real or proposed both in Canada and the U.S. that may affect people's future in regard to freedom of speech, are we to see with all of this a possible overreach on the part of the Israeli lobby? In other words, they've been very successful historically for 60 years in pulling off their agenda in Canada, in the U.S., in Western Europe. Are they overplaying their cards this time? Are we seeing the beginning of a real backlash against this war in Iraq? Are we seeing the real beginning of a backlash in terms of talking about a preemptive attack against Iran? Are we seeing a preemptive backlash beginning to build in regard to people who have been unfairly assailed as anti-Semites and bigots and racists who all of a sudden have come to the fore to say, hey, I don't care what they call me, I'm going to stand on freedom this time. Is that happening? Has the Israeli lobby begun to overplay its hand?
Yeah, that's a very good observation, Mark. And yes, it has. And it's had to because that everything it's tried to do has essentially collapsed in its face. What really happened, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so I'm getting a bit of static on my end. What happened with Israel is that it's tried numerous ways to murder and dispossess the Palestinians, and each time the Palestinians somehow resist brilliantly. During the 1990s, you recall, there was something called the Oslo negotiations, and I use the term loosely. What it was really was Yitzhak Rabin to force the Palestinians to commit political suicide by agreeing to a dishonest agreement that would essentially confer upon them no real statehood and give Israel control over all areas of what is now Palestine. So when that essentially collapsed in their faces, when Yasser Arafat refused to sign this ignoble agreement, Israel was left with nothing. They had nothing that they shot everything in their quiver. They had nothing left to offer. And so since that time, Israel has become more and more desperate. The lobbies become more and more blatant, trying to sabotage any honest reporting coming out of the Middle East. Because let's face it, Israel has lost. Israel is a defeated state. It is it has lost the war for the, to use a sterile expression, I guess, the hearts and minds of the world. Everybody realizes that the Palestinians are right, that they are dying, they're being persecuted, and all the Israelis can do is attack, 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 and slander. And a lot of people are looking at this and saying, okay, something's wrong here. And now, thanks to people like Walt and Mearsheimer, who wrote in the London Review of Books, the Israel lobby is now a topic of legitimate public debate. When once the Israel lobby used to be invisible behind the scenes, it could portray the illusion of Israel as a democracy. That's no longer tenable. And it has become necessary for the lobby to become ever more brazen, arrogant, violent, censorious, and bullying, just to stop the avalanche of informed commentary from overwhelming the propaganda machinery that, as you quite rightly pointed out, until recently it had pretty much a free ride. And one of the things, one of the people involved in this, which is Carter, whose peace side, has become a lightning rod for anti-intellectual venom and vitriol, most likely from Twitch and other people.
We'll be back with Mark Danfoss, America, live from San Antonio, Texas, and RBN with our guest, Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We'll be right back.
We're back. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton, author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. This is a Dandelion Books publication, Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. You can find Dandelion Books at www.dandelionbooks.net. You can find Greg Felton's personal website at www.gregfelton.com. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Greg writes a political column for the biweekly Arabic English Canadian Arab News, and his articles also appear on whatreallyhappened.com, mediamonitors.net, Jeff Rentz's site, rentz.com, and in Middle East Times, the Tehran Times, and other publications. Greg, in the last couple of minutes of the show, where do you see yourself going with your research and your writing in the next few months and in the next year, given the rather ominous things that seem to be developing out there on the horizon?
Well, I'll be going to Ontario later this in June to do a book tour of Ottawa, Toronto, and possibly Montreal if I can arrange it. What I'm looking forward to is selling my book as aggressively as possible and getting as many speaking engagements as possible. I have a number of other ideas for books that I'd like to write about. You mentioned earlier about sports being a use to distract people from the real problems of the world. And it's the distracting element of our society that's very important. And I don't think a lot of people really realize to what degree it is an important instrument in the destruction of the American Republic. I mean, people pay attention to sports or pornography or to vapid celebrity news or how many television shows that are based on countdowns to something or the top 10 of this or that or the other thing. A lot of so-called reality television fits this category, too. What this does is it focuses people on quick fix mental distraction. They get preoccupied and wrapped up in these little, these shows that have nothing really to offer them, that are simply there to fill in time and sell products. And the more that people pay attention to shows like that, the less attention they're going to be willing to pay toward a difficult social issue. And we have essentially a smoke and mirrors world where we end up seeing that bread and circuses world, just like the Roman Empire had, where people, as long as they had food in their bellies and they could go to the Colosseum and see people or animals tortured to death, that's all they cared about. As long as they could distract themselves with other people suffering and they could fill their bellies, the emperors did pretty much what they wanted. And that's essentially the kind of culture we have in the United States. We watch sports. We watch, celebrity this, that, poker. That's the latest great distraction craze. Americans have to start turning off the television, stop going to movies to watch bad sequels made of modestly good original movies. Americans have to demand more from television and the films, and not simply go for the sake of going, not simply waste and zap. Time-wasting exercise.
Greg Felton, I'd like to thank you for being on Mark Danhaus America today, which has come to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I would urge everyone to get a copy of this book. Greg Felton's work is entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It's put out by Carol Adler's Dandelion Books in Tempe, Arizona, which you can find at www.dandelionbooks.net. Tomorrow, Mark Danhaus America and China expert Gordon Chang on the show in the last hour of Mark Danhaus America. Of course, the show begins as usual tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central. See you then. Signing off.